You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on July 3rd, 2022, and is titled, Right Side Up. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve and the message. This is part two.
$9 beer. That's why you see a Budweiser or a Coors sign on every football field, every baseball field, on half the trophy saddles or something. That's where the money comes from. Why? Because we're investors. You cannot invest in entertainment and expect a return except to please your flesh. Now, where did that leak into our lives? It's what we do here. We're in the entertainment business. Well, I go there to learn. Really. Tell me three syllables I told you last week. And this is a really good place. And you're all really good people. Come on, don't shout me down. Leonard? There you go. There's the guy. Hey, I did too. I got up here and had confession. I was the first guy to have confession last week. But yeah, how big of a deal is entertainment in Christianity nowadays? It's huge. You got to get the timing right. You got to get the lights right. You got to get the music right. You got to get the messaging right. If we get a bigger crowd with a guy that preaches with his shirt tail out, next week everybody will have their shirt tail out. Just pick a spot. Whatever attracts people, because we're like bass. If it glitters, we'll jump at it. If it doesn't look attractive, we'll just stay in the rocks. And so, isn't that the truth? So he says right here, he said, you sow, but you have little. You're hungry, you don't have enough to eat. You're thirsty, and you don't have enough to drink. Why? Because we've got the kingdom mechanism all messed up. You were told you could sow into a ministry and it'd be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And that's a lie, because you can't sow money. Money's not a seed. I told you last week, four seeds. One comes out of a man, one comes out of a woman, one comes out of the ground, another comes out of the word. That's it. If you don't sow, you got to have a seed. If you don't have a seed, you're not going to get a crop. If you're going to invest, invest with a purpose, planning on a return. And the institutions have learned. The institution of religion has entertained you and then told you to sow. Told you that your sowing was generosity, and that what we were doing was pleasing to God. Yet, small town America, your everyday little church is barely meeting their annual budget. Attendance is down, money's down, everything's down. You got some of the mega things going on because the entertainment level has escalated. And so, that being said, we'll get more people, you get more people, you get more pockets, you get more pockets, you get, you know the drill. So we got to be careful about our dependency on the institution. Can your faith survive if you never came to town again? You'll never hear a preacher ask you that. Why? They want you here. I want you here in hopes that you can learn something. Or we can learn something together and we can all go home and be better. We're not going to come in here and go home and be better. There's no need in coming here. This isn't what pleases God. This is what gets us ready to leave here and please God. Be here, leave, and reveal His glory. We'll talk about that some more. So what about the part about your hands being upside right like this, open-handed? Because I got questioned on that a little bit. Well, you can't just stand around wanting money. That's not what that's about. It's the principle of giving. Open-handedness as a Christian is generosity. How do you live open-handedly when everything's upside down? If Wall Street is going down every day, how do you live generous? It's easy if you don't trust the institution of finance. But if you got all your eggs in their basket, just know this, there's somebody walking around with a hammer that's going to bust some of your eggs. Get ready. That institution is not for your benefit. That institution, Wall Street and all that stuff, no different than the cattle business and the commodity business where people can own your cattle that don't even know which end the poop comes out. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But you know how they did that? Same way Las Vegas did it. Y'all don't even know what that means. You've never been to a crap table, have you? Well, I saw it on TV once. Yeah, and that little Wheel of Fortune thing, you know. Yeah. Just know this. I know a straight beat the flush. But it's the same thing. I mean, we're just having a good visit here tonight. Same principle. Hand it off to somebody else. Make sure they're going to take care of you. What day did somebody convince everybody that the 401k was necessary? It wasn't long after they convinced you that at 65 years old, you need to get ready to die because you're no good anymore. If you live a longer life, Walmart greeter is the best you can hope for. If you're fairly athletic, we'll let you get the shopping carts. Listen to this mentality. Where's that come from? It didn't come from this. Yet we've got people in our lives that spend a whole lifetime working with their hands, doing things, trusting Social Security. I've believed that Social Security would go away since I was 20 years old. My dad would tell me that. Do not trust that, it's going away. Do not trust that, it's going away. It hasn't gone away yet, but you got to know there are some other people's fingerprints on your money. And just so you know, in case you don't know, all the money that gets paid out in Social Security through the institution of government was put in there by working people. Not the other kind. Working people pay for all that. These are all institutional principles. So then you take a guy, you got to turn him out to pasture at 65. He had lived with holes in his pockets because nobody told him any different. Now he's totally subject to Social Security. And he barely has enough to eat, barely has enough to drink, and get the privilege of new clothes. Been going to church. He's been visiting the institution forever. He's been putting in what he thought was doing his best. He was told that that was this, when it's really this. And that minimized life without purpose, without provision, yet still striving to hold on to his faith. Why would I talk about such a thing? Because I'm 62. And I don't preach for a living. My faith was never a career move. My faith was a move into the kingdom. A learning of how to do this. In the next 3 years, my Social Security could, believe me, you can call my accountant and we've been putting in. I'm just not going to trust it. But I don't know how to get rich. So I'm going to have to sew up some holes. I'm going to have to live by kingdom purpose. What did I tell you at Gonzales? after we had drove down to the junior high finals after diesel went. Cost me $47 an hour to drive my truck, pulling my horse trailer. The whole talk on the street is diesel's high. My alfalfa's gone to $15 a bale. My head count of horses at my house has doubled. What did I tell you while we were there? Remember? I tell you a lot. Well, you're supposed to remember all of it, honey. You're going to have to start writing this stuff down. No, but I told her because we had been led by the Lord to do a little something. And I told her, I said, honey, I just do not believe today's the day that you become closed-fisted. Live like this. Live like this. Be generous. Invest with a purpose. Sew up the holes. Entertainment. A few other things. Sew up the holes. And be prepared. Because contrary to some people's belief, there's nothing in my refrigerator didn't go in there by the hands of man. There's not been one day that I walked in the freezer and there was half a beef in there that I didn't know where it came from. No, we bought it, killed it, packaged it, and stuffed it in there. How did we do it? Had to write a check. How did we have enough money to write a check? At a J-O-B. It wasn't by taking up an offering, a love offering, because I love you so much that I'll preach to you if you'll love me back. Most of the time, the way I preach, it's all you can do to like me. Yet, it says we don't have anything. Listen to the rest of this. Then he goes on down here to verse 11, and he said, I called for a drought on the land and the mountains and on the grain and on the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, on men, livestock, and all the labor of their hands. He's calling for judgment by the weather conditions, judgment in his creation. When are we going to come back to that? I remember one time when one of them big floods hit down there around New Orleans or something, and what was his name on 700 Club? Pat Robertson. Yeah, he had the audacity to come on TV and say, you know what, I believe we might all pay attention. That might be some of God's judgment on some of that erratic behavior that goes on down around there and some of the way y'all do your voodoo dolls and all your stuff. And I'm telling you, they like tore his head smooth off. You know what, I believe he might have been right. Yeah. If we'd really believe that in the midst of the drought that we're in again, maybe we would sow for a harvest of righteousness instead of just standing around pleading for rain. Maybe instead of running for governor of New Mexico on the whole pretense that you can be a cloud seed sower, elect me governor, I can make it rain. Shoot, you better pray like crazy. You can even get elected. That'll be a big enough trick. And if you do, you ain't going to have time to be flying around up there making it rain. Maybe a harvest of righteousness would make it rain. Huh. Wouldn't that be kind of a cool idea? When's the last time we sowed for that? That's what we're doing here. You sow the word for that. Then he goes on down here to chapter 2. In the 7th month, 21st day of the month, word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? I want to stop right there for just a minute. How many of y'all still waiting for the glory of God to fall on your meeting? He gets quiet. The former and the latter. The Bible talks about it in the form of rain. The former and the latter. You realize you're in the latter? Who can remember the former? Would the glory of the latter not exceed the glory of the former? In this temple? How many people get together in a pile waiting on the glory of God to fall? If the glory is in the temple, where's that at? For you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of God. Corporately, we create an atmosphere. Whether it's at home or in a group here, the presence of the Holy Spirit changes the atmosphere no matter where you go. I quote it all the time, 1 Peter chapter 2, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. When's the last time you looked at the mirror while you were brushing your teeth in the morning and you saw the glory of God in the temple? You don't even have to put your glasses on to see that. It's a really good question. While we keep getting in a pile every week, trying to get a whiff of God. I was telling a person this morning on the telephone, we were talking about all this. And I said, you know, one of my favorite times this morning I got up real early. And I sat down with my Bible and was looking over some of this, and God told me, he said, get up and go outside. It was pitch dark. I didn't turn any lights on. And I had a little worship music going, and I just sat there with a cup of coffee and didn't say anything. Didn't hear anything. Just sat there, and here in a minute, I'm weeping. Just overwhelmed by the presence of God. Later on, I was cleaning stalls. Maybe everybody needs a little horse poop and a fork. You know what happens when I'm cleaning stalls? You don't have to tell me to go clean stalls, do you, honey? It ain't because I like shoveling horse poop. God and I actually have conversations. While I'm picking stalls, I'll start talking to him. Here in a minute, I start hearing him. I think he likes work. I actually think he likes walking around with a guy doing work as opposed to a guy just sitting here waiting on something to happen. And we just converse. You know what the good news is? My horses poop a lot every day. There's a real good chance that me and God are going to get to talk every day. The temple in its former glory and the temple now. How do you see it? That's the question I want to ask tonight. How do you see the glory of God? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Does the glory of God in our religious community today look like nothing? Be serious. Is there a chance that to everybody around it looks like nothing? If we're supposed to be a hospital for sinners, then we got to go outside and look like somebody just dialed 911. We got to get out of here and let the whole world see the glory of God in the temple. Sunday morning, a friend of mine who's been tapping into a lot of stuff, him and I are going to go to a roping together here pretty soon. And so he, and this is going to really mess some of you religious people up. So he called me and we was talking, and I said, hey, you think we want to practice just a little bit together? This guy's really good and I'm not that great, and I kind of wanted to give him a way out. Come down here and see what I don't have, and then you can back out. So he came down, and he called me at a time, and he said, don't y'all do something on Sunday morning? I says, yes, we do. I said, there's a guy that teaches a Bible study every Sunday morning. Some Sundays I'm there. Most Sundays I'm not. Everybody wants to be there will be there, and those not there won't be there. We're good. I said, you want to come down Sunday morning? Let me tell you something. He came down Sunday morning, and we roped a little, and we hung out together. We prayed together. We cried together. We broke bread together. We talked about God for 6 solid hours. When he got ready to go home, I said, how was church? He said, best I ever been to. We were riding down the arena. And he said, I just can feel the presence of God. And dadgummit, when you put all your trust in the institution, you become totally dependent, that your Christianity is totally dependent on being somewhere at a certain time. Buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, your boat's got a hole in it, and you're going to sink. That's just how it is. And he said, how do you see it? And he tells them to be strong, Joshua, and then be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. That's in verse 4. Be strong and work. We just stop right there. Be strong and work. And he said, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. The church is the group of people whose God's spirit remains among. Only by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are you marked as God's. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This world is being turned upside down, yet I stand in a kingdom that is right side up. I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to go to work. I'm going to be me. That person I was on the phone with this morning said, you know what I love about your stories? It's just you being you. Just be you to the glory of God. Just live to the glory of God. Stand upright while everything else is going upside down. And while you get frustrated and you get confused and you want to talk about it, then blah, blah, blah. Be sure you're a generous. Be sure you're investing with a purpose. Be sure that you sow seed. Don't sow things that are not seed because you won't get a harvest. Be sure what you're sowing for and what you plan on reaping. Use these kingdom principles and you won't be without. You'll do good. And do not fear. What did they show us in 2020? That you Christians are a bunch of chickens. Yeah. You guys are a bunch of chickens. We'll make all of you afraid. Hey, me not being afraid of something doesn't make it not real. Being afraid doesn't make you, or being fearless doesn't make you a pretender. You know, there's plenty of them out there too that you know, call these things that are as though there are not and this and that and other. You know, that's, remember me telling you one night in here, one of the problems with the church is y'all ain't been in enough bar fights. First, a big fat guy standing over here, been drinking all night, says, I'm going to kick your hind in. Get ready. Oh, you're not here. You don't mean it. In the name of Jesus, you're lying. No, he's fixing to tear your head off. You just as well get ready. I don't care if you're talking about sickness, disease. I don't pretend it's not here. Here's what courage is. Courage is the things that make you afraid. You go towards them anyhow. It's not that things don't make you afraid or make you aware, but you go anyhow. Firemen run into burning buildings. People, the sheriff, in situations all the time. We're not afraid. I'm not afraid of what people tell me might get me. it might get me. I'm not immune, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of that herd of imbeciles that's running our country. I'm no longer afraid if this country doesn't make it another 5 years. You can't talk like that. Really?
That concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org, or on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.